This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait. Let's just
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott, we got to give you the number, 800-919-3776. We do it fast because we want you to get on the calls as quickly as you can because they load up and pump. Some people are stuck on hold for a while. We don't want to do that. We want you to be part of the conversation. So get in line right now. The buffet is open. Now, if you can't get through on the lines, of course, you can get us on social media at Bart and Han on Twitter, Instagram. And Bill Belichick, who loves Tom Thibodeau, apparently, will also tell you where else you can find us.
Snap face, instant chat, or whatever it is.
Right. And right now, what you want to do is slide into Bart's DMs. Bart is helping. Bart will join us in a minute. He's helping count all of the mail-in votes and everything else in Wayne County. That's his home and his home city of Detroit in Michigan. Swing state. Very important what's going on there right now. He obviously had the absentee voting. That's where he votes. So Bart's helping them count. So it's very important that we get this thing right. What a wild night it was. As if you were following the Vegas odds, which for some reason we always do. It's not really sports, but we always live by the rule that Vegas knows something. Talk about the swings. If you were going through emotional swings by whatever side that you were pulling for or you voted for, it's incredible how throughout the night it was back and forth and back and forth, and John King in front of that glorious monitor just telling us up to date. Like, this guy's going all the way down like these tiny little towns in the middle of the country. Like, pointing, hey, you got only 11% in, but this town, historically they do this. Like, how do you even know what town that is? Like, it's incredible the performance that some of these people were doing. Like, just, I mean, it was inexhaustible. What a crazy night. It was. What a wild night. And we all have to sit tight now and see what the end result is going to be. So we'll keep an eye on certainly that stuff over the next couple of days. I think we might know when the NBA season is going to start before we know who the actual president is going to be. We can find that out as early as tomorrow. And I've got some info on that. We'll get to that later on in the show as well. Now, before we get to the big headline of the day, which is Joe Douglas, who spoke yesterday for the first time since the season started. And he was on the K Show yesterday, and the guys did a great job putting him on the griddle, which, that's what happens. You got to flip him. You got to put the heat up, and you got to let him feel it. And he did, and he handled it well. The guys did a great job. We'll discuss that as well. But we had our own election, so to speak. We had our own polls that we ran over the last couple of days, having some fun with it. And it's also a good way for us to sort of canvas, get an idea of our listenership and what you guys really are most passionate about. And what we did is we took all the teams in New York of the four major sports, and on Monday we did a preliminary where we went head to head with the four major sports and the two teams in each. And then the winners there went into the final four, which was election day yesterday, and you voted again to see who would get the most votes. It was very close. And we promised that whoever won this election, we would lead the show with them. Whatever team it would be, we left it to your control. You have the power of the vote. You see what we were doing there. Well, the results are in. And we can tell you right now, we can confirm that right now, it's not a projection, it is a confirmation. The Yankees, with 38.4% of the votes, won the fan vote. And so we have to leave it down. Just so you know, full disclosure, the Jets and the Knicks tied for second, 24.6%. Now, obviously, Bart has his connection to the Jets. I have my connection to the Knicks. We really thought one of those two teams would have won. But I love the fact that the Yankee fans came out in full force and said, no, we want to hear you guys talk Yankees. And I love it. Rangers, by the way, came in fourth at 12.3%. I'll tell you what, though, you could say what you want about finishing fourth. 12.3% of the votes, that's a lot of fans. That's pretty good. So good for the Rangers. Anyways, so let's quickly just give you what you wanted, which is opening with the Yankees. Yesterday, in the midst of all the election coverage, Major League Baseball decided they were going to start announcing all their awards or their finalists. So what a weird time to do something like that. As we knew, DJ LeMahieu was one of the MVP finalists. He's the batting champ. He had a great season, and we'll see what happens. I think that's November 12th they'll reveal that. The Yankees had several players who at least were getting some, who had something to do with leading the league in something, right? So whether it's DJ and the batting champ in the American League or Luke Voit with his 22 home runs, that's all great. But you know what they still don't have and haven't had for now 4 years running? Gold Glove. Gio Urshela, who you thought might have a shot, did not get enough votes for Gold Glove at third base. He's out. So the Yankees, the last time a Yankee won a Gold Glove was in 2016. You know who it was? Anyone? Bueller? Brett Gardner. Brett Gardner. How about that? And Brett Gardner, who we'll see if they do decide to keep him, but bring him back another season after they did. They didn't pick up his option. Cy Young finalists were also announced, and once again, Yankees do not have a Cy Young finalist. Now, they have a guy that won the Cy Young in Gerrit Cole, obviously, but not as a Yankee. It's sort of like when CeCe Sabathia came to the Yankees. He had won a Cy, but not with the Yankees. Here's the craziest thing. Do you know how long it's been since? How about this? The last Yankee to win the Cy Young. Can you name them? This one blew my mind. The last Yankee to win the Cy Young. I'll tell you what, I won't answer it. At Bart Hunt on Twitter. Give me the answer. Let's see who can get it first. And don't, you can Google it because obviously you're on your phone, but still, I'm curious
Sid
if
Luckman.
Anybody can. No, it wasn't Sid Luckman. I'm curious if anybody's off the top of their head and be like, oh, yeah, it's this guy. The last Yankee to win the Cy Young. Crazy.
Benny Agbayani.
No, it wasn't. That's not even a Yankee. Damn, guys. Anyways.
You know what? I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know. This is a good one. So what the Yankees have, however, is a very important offseason. At a time where Buster Olney is saying, like we're seeing in all sports, off seasons are going to be, it's going to be a cold market for a lot of free agents, for a lot of teams. There's going to be a lot of the small market teams that aren't going to want to spend. In fact, they might even look to move some contracts. So you look again across the city, Steve Cohen comes in with the Mets with all his money, and there could be great opportunity. There could be great opportunity. Tom Sully said Guidry. That is incorrect. What you have, though, is for the Yankees, you have to operate in a budget. That's the way they do it here. But you've got a very important offseason here. Very important offseason. Not David Cohn, Sam. No, that is not correct. What you have right now is a lot of decisions to make. Is Luke Voit your first baseman forever? Is he your first baseman for the future? Now, he hit the 22 home runs. He led the league. He's a power hitter. The plantar fascia, which we found out about late in the season, he was playing through it. That took a lot of guts. Dave Righetti is not correct. We do have a winner, though. Jack. Jack was the first to say Clemens. 2001. Right after it, though, also another one. Was it Drymando? What is that name? Drymando? Yeah. He said Clemens as well in 01. Correct. Okay, so we have a winner. Yes, Roger Clemens, 2001. That's how long it's been. Anyways, so you have Luke Voit. That's your guy, right? That's your guy, Luke Voit, first base. You know, G Stan picked up the $218 million option for the rest of his contract 7 years to go. You kind of got him for a bit. You won't have Luis Severino until midseason. At least he's throwing. But you're not going to have him until probably June, July. So you, again, are starting the season uncertain about your starting rotation. You do know your bullpen. Now, Kane Lee, who has the injury, he moves on for now. Zach Britton, however, that was a smart thing. You pick him up and you'll see, does he become your closer of the future, of the near future? Curious. But the starting rotation remains the question. Tanaka, what do you do with him? Paxton? I mean, there's a lot of question marks there. And you can't, don't sell me on Davey Garcia. Don't sell me on all these young guys. I don't know what Severino's going to be. So there's a lot of question marks here with the Yankees. A lot. This is going to be an extremely busy offseason. Extremely busy. Extremely important. And Brian Cashman has said that they are going to pretty much stick to the plan, which is fine. Stick to the plan. But there are decisions that have to be made, and they're not going to be easy. But there is opportunity, though. There is opportunity that you have with this team. because, as I mentioned, it's a cold market. You can take advantage of this if there's a lot of teams that aren't willing to spend. All right, Chester is disagreeing with me, saying he thinks that Roger Clemens was in 2000, not 01. I officially looked it up. It is 2001. Anyways, do we have Bart?
What are you using your Jedi Chi, man? What the hell I miss?
Feel you, man. You good now? Did you count all the votes? Are the totals in now in Wayne County?
Not yet, man. I got a couple more. Cutting Pete, Uncle P. Ryan, Butch, and Michi still got to make sure they got copies of theirs, man. It was close, man, because you know they felons.
Now you're one of the guys that did mail in, right? Because you're an absentee voter.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because that's still home for you.
Yep, that's still home for me. So yeah, absolutely. I mailed mine in probably about 2 weeks ago. So I mailed mine in 2 weeks ago. You know, it's documented on my Instagram for those that think I didn't. You know what I'm saying? But I did. I did my civic duty. You know what I'm saying? I did what I was supposed to do. I set the last. You know, I made no bones about it. I set the last one out. You know, I said wanted to make my vote count.
Good. And so now you keep an eye on it. All eyes are certainly on that. All right, Bart. Well, we had to pay off the Yankee thing. We certainly did that as we discussed it and where the Yankees are. But now that you're here, and now we'll get into really what the big headline of the day is for us to discuss. And we discussed a lot of this over the last couple of days. You obviously have the best information, the best connection to the Jets right now on any station anywhere here in New York. You're very close to the situation. And so that's why I want to tell you my take off of the things – Off of the things that Joe Douglas said yesterday, not just to the media, but also on the K Show. I'll tell you what I think, and then you can go from there.
Okay.
You could tell me if I'm on point, if I'm way off or not. Because as much as we're all going to focus on him saying about Sam, quarterback of the future, him saying about Adam Gase, about how this is not all on him, and he hopes that, you know, we can fix the problem together and all that stuff. I got to be honest with you, Bart. That's not the things that really caught my attention. The stuff that caught my attention was how he spoke. Okay? Like, does that make any sense to you? I listened to a guy that to me sounded like something that this franchise hasn't had in a long time and I've been begging for. And that is a leader. That is a voice that sort of is, this is who we are. And I don't, you know, and it's not, and it's a stable voice. We love Rex, but we all know Rex also could fly off the handle and do some crazy stuff. And there's some things he would do. But you're like, man, this is not the time for that, right?
Well, you don't expect that. You expect that from a coach. You expect a little bit more stability from a general manager. I think Joe gives everybody the sense of what it sounds like to hear Cashman speak. It's not really sugarcoating things. It's throwing things, throwing anybody under the bus. It's taking accountability and saying that he'll get better.
There you go.
You know, that's what you have to like. You have to like the fact that he always takes ownership. He points the thumb, not the finger. And he's saying Adam Gase, but that's not a ringing.
I'm going to go there in a minute. But first, let's first play this part. And I loved it. I think it was Don that followed up when he mentioned how Adam Gase is not all on him, and you know he really wants to he wants Adam to be part of the solution, and he hopes that we can fix these problems together and be together for a long time. And so the question was, like, wait a minute, this guy, all he's done is lose. Like, he's losing, and why can't he take the blame? Why won't you blame him? And listen to Joe Douglas's response.
I'm not going to sit here and blame or point fingers at anybody. So I need to look in the mirror and I need to say, I need to focus on what I can do better, And I have to get as many great people, great players as I can to help this organization. And I know that there are a ton of good people here. And so we're working together. We're working together to do that.
Now, like I said this yesterday, you hearing that might have pissed you off. It might have pissed you off what he said about Gase, what you heard him say on the K Show. But I say this to the fans. I tweeted this yesterday. Put yourself in his position right now. What would you say in the middle of a season? Yes, you're 0-8, but you're in the middle of a season. I felt like he felt like, you know what, let's have somebody speak, a voice of reason, be the adult in the room.
Yeah.
When was the last time the Jets had that? I thought he handled everything the right way as a GM who's running a rebuild should handle it. Now, it doesn't mean, and you'll be the one to answer this, Bart, that Gase is going to stay as the coach. But if the owner isn't making the move at midseason, then who the hell is Joe Douglas to say that he should be here or not? When we know that the Johnsons are the ones that are making that decision, not their GM. The GM doesn't have autonomy. I've explained this to people over and over again, and they just don't understand. For Joe Douglas to go anywhere in the media or on the air and say, and even leave an inkling of an idea that, you know what, well, I mean, you know, whatever happens with the coach, I don't know, we're going to assess everything at the end of the season. That's not for you to say. And here's why. Bart, this goes back to an interview I did when I was on with Canty and DiPietro. And we had our show, and we were at BTIG, which is a great event, and Woody Johnson was there. This is back in May of 2017. Okay, and we had Woody Johnson on. We had a lot of great guests that day, but Woody Johnson came on with us. We had a great conversation with him. And this is when Maccagnan and Bowles were the tandem back then. And I had to ask him, because it was one of those rare opportunities I could talk to a team owner.
Yeah.
And when we were done with all the, you know, the fun stuff, then I said, I got to ask you why you believe this is the right way to do it, where the GM and the coach are at the same level and they answer to you and there is no hierarchy. There is no structure where one answers to the other. And this was the answer he gave me.
They have different functions. You know, one is the general manager's eye. He's a talent guy. His responsibility is for talent and running his draft and picking up the pro side and the college side. The player's got his own squad, which is different. And so we didn't want to set up the artificial hierarchy of one versus the other. And I think this has worked pretty well. They get along extremely well. Mm-hmm. I mean, the general manager and the coach, head coach, has to get along. And they've worked out. They've got a relationship now that they talk. So when it comes to me, you know, they've discussed it normally.
So it works in your eyes. It's working great.
It's working very well. Yeah.
All right, Bart. So everybody understands it now. That's how it works. So I've said my piece. What did you take from everything you heard from Joe yesterday? And also, what do you think of my take on this about Joe basically doing what he should do, representing the franchise the right way and making it clear I'm not the guy to make the decision on Adam.
Right. Well, and Joe is keeping it close to the vest, right? Because it's not his place to say, hey, we're moving on for the coach. Why would you do that? What benefit is it to the organization? What benefit is it to the coach? What benefit is it to the players? Now, he has his opinions, I'm sure. And I'm sure he'll, even if he's not making a decision, he's going to get input on what the decision should be, right? And it's just like this thing with Sam Darnold. Like, is Sam Darnold the answer? You don't know. But is Trevor Lawrence too good to pass up? And then you ask yourself the same thing. Is Adam Gase the problem, or could he fix it? Maybe. Maybe. It's only been 2 years. Some people may say, hey, that decision's already been made. He's not a great coach. But if Eric the Enemy, if a Sala is available, if the guy Arthur, or I forget his name, from Tennessee is available, do you have to do your due diligence and say, you know what, this is a better fit, this is a better guy, and this is an upgrade? So that's what Joe Douglas is going to have to do. And I think Woody Johnson or Christopher Johnson is going to have to figure out if they want to change that. Because the fact that you do things different could be great, could be groundbreaking, right? Or it could be a reason why other teams are successful doing it the other way. Right. So that's what they have to consider. And I think that this decision's already been made. The fact that Adam Gase isn't calling plays. I mean, the writing's on the wall. Right. No different than when I told you guys Avery Williamson was going to be traded, because the writing was on the wall. This is not hard to understand.
Yeah.
That's the nonverbal communication. People can say things with their mouths, but their actions say something different. And the actions of the Jets have told me that Adam Gase is a dead man walking, and that he's going to be now he's not going to be the coach of the team next year, and that they're going to make a decision to go in a different direction, and it's going to be somebody that Joe has to be able to work with, and Joe's going to have a big input. No different from Adam Gase had a huge input in bringing Joe Douglas in. So it's one thing for you to want somebody, but that doesn't mean necessarily that they want you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I completely understand it, and I know you've been sort of hinting to this for a while. I just understand. Look, the fan point of view is this. You always want your pound of flesh. Oh, I'm going to hear from the GM? All right. Well, you're 0-8. I better hear you with fire and brimstone. I want you as mad as I am.
But at least he ain't ducky like no. Gettleman. You never hear from Gettleman.
Well,
you're for Harry.
I'm sorry. No. Well, I think we'll hear from Gettleman during – they haven't had a bye week yet, right?
Yeah, but you don't hear from Gettleman almost ever. And when you do give it, it's not.
Quarterbacks?
Well, exactly.
I understand.
So he's not ducking. That's why like, he's taking the count.
So what Joe said, and I'm not trying to, you know, again, we're not trying to be apologists. I'm not trying to sugarcoat this. I'm telling you right now, if you followed this franchise as long as I have, the one thing that's always bothered me about the Jets is that other than maybe Parcells and even at times Herm Edwards, when was the last time they had somebody that was a voice of any type of authority that when they spoke, you were like, yo, I trust what this guy's saying. I believe in what this guy's saying. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, Joe is absent of any culpability here at 0-8.
Yeah, I mean, Khalil was wacky.
He's admitted making mistakes. He even said that he was totally shocked that they're 0-8, that he didn't see it coming at all, and that he's really putting a lot of it on himself about the lack of depth with the roster, the injuries, and we've got to attack this. We've got to figure out what's going on. They've got to be better. He even went as far as saying Robbie Anderson and how, you know what? You know, we just, you know, Adams didn't want to give him the money, didn't think we were in a place to give him the money. You know, we got a great offer, so we went ahead and did it. That Robbie Anderson's the one where you could sense that he was having a little bit of remorse. But the other thing that really stood out to me was, again, his accountability. But as you've mentioned a million times, Bart, over the next two drafts, they have 9 picks in the first 3 rounds.
Yep.
There's a lot of work to be done. And as Joe Douglas says right here, that's what he's really focused on. And he tells you how you could just hear it in his voice, how he knows. He's on the clock now these next 2 years.
We have to draft better. We have to draft better. We have to develop these guys, and we have to keep these guys. And I think with the picks we had last year, with the picks we have coming up in the next 2 years, I mean, this is a huge time frame for us in terms of we have to hit on these draft picks. These guys have to be the foundation of our franchise moving forward, and we have to do everything in our power to develop them both on and off the field.
It's really going to be about that, isn't it? It's really going to be about the drafting and developing, which is where you are in a rebuild. And you've said it, Bart. They're in a very awkward stage right now of a rebuild where you're really kind of selling off pieces that don't really fit what you're doing. And you have to wait now to get to the draft and get to the next draft and then build on those players. Yeah. But you can't miss. He just said it. We can't miss on these guys. We've got to hit. He sounds like he's got a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, and that's self-imposed pressure, and should be, right? Because, you know, realistically, you might as well call his first year a wash. He took some swings in the dark to try and protect Sam Darnold. The Kelechi Asimile, yep. You know, who couldn't stay healthy. But, you know, you think about him, and you think about the
Khalil.
Swing that they made. And Khalil, those were swings in the dark, trying to get somebody to protect Sam, like, after you got there last minute. But the thing about it was you had the money, and Khalil came right off the books. He didn't work out, but he comes right off the books. So it's not something that's lingering on your salary cap. Now, Kelechi, I don't even know what that really worked out to, if it was an injury settlement, what happened as far as how much they owe him or if they still had to pay him and if Kansas City took the difference. But he looked like the player with Kansas City that they thought he was going to be. He just was injured, and it was a disagreement about should he get surgery, was he hurt, how hurt was he. But it wasn't that Kelechi wasn't a good player and wasn't the right move. It just didn't work out because of the injuries. So now you have to speed that up, and now he's got to take accountability because now he knows the clock is on. Now, I thought that was gracious of him to say, hey, the draft picks that we got, because the first draft that he got, he had nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So really, you talk about what Becton looks like, what P. Ryan looks like, what we think Mims is going to look like. I think those are 3 good picks that he had. I think the jury's still out on Ashton Davis because I haven't liked some of the things I've seen. It looks like the game is a little bit too fast for him. But this D-end is a Zagugugugaga, you know what I'm saying? until you get on the field, I'm never going to say his name right. He's who they tout, right? So if he's got 4 right, 4 fundamental foundational pieces, then that's a great start. So if he can every year get 4 great guys that can contribute, you know what I mean? That's a good thing. Knowing that he has more ammunition. Those are picks where, you know, those were later round picks. If he has more top 3 picks, you will hope that those players will be a little bit better. They'll be more to the Becton and Mims expectations opposed to what we want from Austin Davis and P. Ryan, which is just being professionals.
This is one of those things that it's going to – I hate to use the process, but that's where they are. This is building through the draft more than anything.
They're San Francisco. They're San Francisco right now.
Yeah, and you said it.
No.
and you said it, and they're going to have cap space, but it's going to be hard to attract players. You have to overspend maybe to get a couple of pieces, but the draft is where Joe Douglas said, we are building this team, and over these next 2 years, it's going to be critical that we get it right. So that means, Jet fans, you hate this word, I know it, patience. That's what he basically was saying to you. So what do you respond to that? Just to quickly correct myself, as I do this. I talk fast. I get all fired up. I got a little matcha in me. I'm talking Yankees, and I say Gerrit Cole, Cy Young. I know. It's just it's like the whole thing with Trevor Lawrence when I said
it's the CMOS.
My bad. I appreciate everybody keeping me accountable.
The Beebs going to get him? We got the Beebs.
Well, no, he's not even a finalist this year. I said CeCe Sabathia won a Cy Young before he was, and then he comes to the Yankees and never win one. I'm like, just like Gerrit Cole, which obviously that's not exactly true, but whatever. Point is like the no finalist.
He was good. He's damn good.
Shane Bieber's going to win it though. Shouldn't he?
Yeah, the Beebs right there. You got Yu Darvish there, and
man, like when you win the Triple Crown pitching, I mean, you should.
Yeah, you got Trevor Bauer there too.
I mean, fantastic all year.
Trevor Bauer was like what is like 1.117?
Yeah, well, he was ridiculously dominant. Remember, that's National League though. But he was insane. He was dominant. But no gold gloves again since 2016. I don't know if you heard the beginning there, Bart. You were counting all the ballots out there in Wayne County.
Yeah, Mookie Betts got it again. Yeah.
Been 4 years for the Yankees since they've had a gold glove winner. And, but DJ's got a shot.
Guys can't stay healthy.
DJ has a shot at MVP. But I'll tell you what.
Who's his competition?
Well, Abreu is probably going to win it. 60 RBI in 60 games, dude. Yeah. like that's pretty good. And the White Sox were a good team, mainly because, not mostly, but he was a big part of it. They haven't had an MVP since Frank Thomas back when I was in college.
The Big Hurt.
Yeah, the Big Hurt.
Nice selling the Hurt. Nugenics, yeah. Baby. She'll like Nugenics. It, too.
And she'll like it, too.
But that's what I like, man. Like,
I love how they do it.
Then they he says fluffy. That, and then they show like the guy looking at his wife, and his wife
they
like
winks.
Like she's instead looking of looking at the guy going like, "Hey, this is great," she's looking at Frank Thomas like, "Oh,"
she's like, "Oh, you've been taking Nugenics longer than him, so I think I'll like you a little bit better." Lose your girl to Frank Thomas. But the crazy thing is, he's the most out of shape out of everybody on there. Put Doug Flutie in there. He's jumped up to whoever the other baseball dude is.
Andy Van Slyke is jacked, by the way.
Oh, Mountain
Dew. He was his teammate with the White Sox. Jacked. I never knew Andy Van Slyke had guns like that. Are you serious?
He looked like he's ready for Rocky V. Like, yo, you who are you? You Rocky's training partner?
Like
what
Tommy
the hell?
Gunn. Like, oh my God. Yeah, it's so true.
Hey, yo, Tommy. Hey, yo, Tommy.
Hey, no bell.
No bell.
All right, we're talking Joe Douglas. I got a lot of NBA scoopage for you, Bart. I got some harder
to the Sixers. Harder to the Sixers.
I got a lot of stuff about the season and when it's going to start and what's going on within the union as they're all discussing this over the last couple of days. And tomorrow is a very big day. But I have all the breakdowns of the different scenarios, and then what it's more than likely going to be. We'll just discuss all that stuff coming up in the noon hour, and also a very interesting name that has become potentially on the trade market in the NBA. Ooh. That is not. Not a superstar, but somebody, if you're the Knicks, you definitely want to consider.
Is he a 3D guy?
No.
Is he a Thibodeau defense guy?
Point guard.
Oh, okay.
It's a point guard we like. It's not top shelf, but it's like that second shelf, but you like it.
He ain't got no wax shoes, do he?
No.
His dad ain't got no wax shoes.
No, it's nobody. Okay. Nobody. No. Just teasing the NBA stuff.
Okay,
we'll get to, but we got callers.
Okay.
And we want to get to them. We got a Blitzer pre-event. We want to get to that. Man, we got a busy day. So let's begin, and let's go to Matt in Summit to start us off. Matt.
Oh, that's my hood.
Fellas, the most dynamic duo in sports radio. Thank you for all you do.
Hey, man, why don't you place an order for a committed pick for me? Give me some red velvet pancakes and extra hash browns.
Red velvet.
That place is legit. So, listen, I just want to touch on Joe Douglas last night. You know, two things, and the first one quick, and the second one I think is important. You know, I agree with you, Alan. You know, he said all that he could say last night on Adam Gase. But I really want to touch on, the perils of thinking that Sam Darnold is the franchise quarterback and we can build around him. And Keyshawn spent a lot of time this morning talking about it, and Bart, you've advocated for this as well, that, you know, if you get the top pick, trading down, accumulating assets and talent, and building around Sam is probably the right way to go. And I just want to talk about the perils of that. And, you know, I think the question you have to ask yourself is who are you building around? you know, clearly we're all hoping that Sam regains his form at USC, where he was this, you know, electric quarterback making throws that you couldn't teach, you know, like in that Rose Bowl game against Penn State, where he was just dynamic.
Yeah.
But I think you need to look at what you have right now. And what we have right now, unfortunately, is a quarterback that is incapable of making plays with an average roster around him. He's incapable of elevating the play of average guys around him. And so when you look at the Jets roster right now, you need to be honest with yourself. This team, for all intents and purposes, you know, is an expansion team. They've torn down this roster so much that right, they're
I think that, isn't that what Joe said though, Matt?
This is my point.
But I'm trying to figure out what you're trying to say, because he needs talent around him. Name me a quarterback that doesn't.
Here's the problem.
I think I know what you're going. Where you're going? I feel you.
This quarterback needs talent around him. He's going to need a contract soon, which is going to limit the ability to obviously add talent around him. The clock is going to turn off, and it's going to be years. You know, Joe Douglas talked about we need time, we need patience. It is going to be a while before you think you can actually maximize, you know, what you have in Sam Darnold. And so, if he's not a guy who can elevate his play, even with subpar talent around him, and it's going to be a while before we can actually build a proper roster around him, then he's not the guy you can build around. I think if you get that first pick, you know, the answer has already been made for us. We know what we need to know, and you know, you got to take a shot at Trevor Lawrence, and that's my deal.
So let me follow your point before we let you go. Let me follow your point. What you're saying is basically Sam Darnold is a good quarterback, but he's more on the level of Dak Prescott, who needed a trade for Amari Cooper to become elite. So Sam can't elevate average talent around him. He can't make guys like Lazard. He can't make guys like Jordy Nelson. He can't make guys like that to perennial Pro Bowlers, because his ability to throw them open and also to hold them accountable. So what you're saying is that, hey, maybe you should go with Trevor Lawrence, because maybe he is that type of guy. And if he isn't that type of guy, by the time you have to pay him, you'll be able to put the type of talent around him so that he could have a talented roster without having to pay him $40 million a year. So I totally get what you're saying.
Other teams have to do this, too. This is nothing that is exclusive to the Jets on that.
Let's take Herbert, right?
Yeah.
Herbert is playing amazing. But look at what he has. Mike Williams, first-round draft pick. Keenan Allen, first-round draft pick. Hunter Henry, a top-five tight end in his league. And you got Austin Eckler. He has four weapons of guys that are two Pro Bowlers between Henry and Keenan Allen. All right, even what about Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow throwing to A.J. Green. He growing to T. Higgins.
Yeah.
He got Joe Mixon. And he has two. You remember, Cincinnati spent their first two rounds on first round. They went in and got the guy from that used to be the fat dude from the Buffalo Bills to be their left tackle. Then they went to Alabama and got the other right tackle. So he has protection as well. Mm-hmm. He has two first-round draft picks, on the offensive line.
I completely understand, and I completely agree on the contract thing. That is the big issue. I will continue to point out, though, what did you think Joe was going to say? Well, jury's out on Sam. We're not too sure. We'll have to make that decision at the end of the season. The minute you open that door, a 23-year-old who's already going through enough crap, you're going to dump that on his head with 8 games to go? And you know Sam, as we said yesterday, is feeling the pressure. He's feeling it. I got to get some dubs here, because if I don't win and we end up with that first pick, first of all, I got 0-16 on my record, and they're about to draft my replacement. I need to win. If you don't think that kid's feeling all that, even though on the K Show every week when he does his spot, he sounds calm, cool, collected. He tries to be honest, but he doesn't sound like he's triggered. I promise you, when he's sitting in his room and he's watching film or whatever he's doing, in the back of his mind, he's like, yo, if I don't get some dubs, man, they're about to replace me.
If he's watching Rosen, if he's watching Dwayne Haskins, if he's watching those scenarios, if he's watching Mitch Trubisky, he's like, oh, my God.
He doesn't want to be in the company of the quarterbacks. He doesn't want to be Ryan Leaf. He doesn't want to be in those categories. All right, let's take Ray in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Ray.
Good morning, fellas. I wanted to touch a little bit on what Joe Douglas said yesterday on the Michael Stay Show. I hope you guys are right, man. I really do, because at the end of the day, this is the Jets organization, and they always end up doing what what the fans at least want, or what we need to expect, especially like with the signing of Adam Gase as the head coach. Like, that's the last thing that was on our minds when we were looking for a head coach.
Okay.
I really do. And if we're going to do it, let's do this right, and let's strip this whole, like, let's rebuild completely. So just like he's been doing, like, with trading players, trading the older players for, like, picks and stuff.
But you have to understand, Ray, we were explaining it at the start of the show. Joe does not – I played you the audio. It's not his choice to fire the coach. He doesn't have that power. That's up to the owner. So he can't – so what you heard him say on the K show – and I appreciate the call, Ray, but I want you to listen to this because I'm going to say it one more time because a lot of fans that don't get this. What he said on the K show is basically a man who is telling you, ask me all you want about the head coach. That is above my pay grade. Yeah. I don't decide his fate. So right now, I got to work with him, and I got to do what I can to help him succeed. That's the only job I have. That's what the owner told me. And if my owner isn't ready to fire this guy, who am I to say whether or not he should stay or go? That is outside of my jurisdiction, basically, Bart, right? Like, fans need to understand this. This is not Joe's decision.
Yeah. Exactly. But if you look at what – listen, you don't take the play calling away from Adam Gase. If they both report to the owner, if the owner,
I thought he gave up the play calling. I thought he gave it up.
Yeah, sure. Like 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, exactly. So I mean, if that's the case, listen, you don't do that. You're not allowed to do that. They both got equal power. So if Adam Gase was stripped of his thing, that's telling you that, you know, Woody Johnson again, or Christopher publicly. Johnson's right. Yeah.
What is one thing the Johnsons hate? Public what? When it looks like there's chaos publicly.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't want that. They don't want the image of no one's getting along and we have all this turmoil.
And Rex tells you, he's always going to let you play it out. That's just what the Johnsons do. They don't fire coaches in the middle of the season. They let them fall on their sword, go out on their sword and say, hey, you know what I mean, thank you for your services. But, you know what I mean, you know, we got to sell a little bit more baby powder and Band-Aids because, you know what I'm saying, we still got to pay you for 3 years. You know, but it's okay. You know what I'm saying? You know, we got fires going on. We're trying to make a vaccine. We'll get that cheese back on the taco. Even though they don't run a company no more. Theoretically, that's what I'm saying.
No, I completely understand. I just want fans to really understand that that's the reality of it. We'll get back to the calls. We got NBA to get into. We could be weeks away from training camp, believe it or not, depending on what happens later this week. I've got a lot of details I can share with you about the season and what to expect. And then, of course, going forward, what the offseason will look like once we get to the draft, which, oh, by the way, Bart, is in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah, we're almost really? At the draft. Like, you know, the draft time. We got to talk a lot of draft. Probably next week we'll get really into the draft.
We. I ain't got nothing to say. This is when I sit back, put my feet up, and listen to you, my brother.
Oh, is this like when we were in April and I just said, hi, Bart, tell me about the NFL draft. And then you just like, and then you, exactly. By the end of the show, you're like, what just happened? I blacked out.
Yeah, we call this footprints. I just go up and the next need to, okay, calm down.
Yeah, well. I got some thoughts on it. So we'll
we already know. Hey, listen, this is a good thing. It is no other place you'd rather be to hear about the NBA, but right here.
That is a fact. And you know what I'm kicking around? Let's see if we can do a little NBA draft preview podcast right here on the network.
And then you know, we're feeling that too? Yeah, then we can match
get some
up.
Draft experts, little Mike Schmitz, little draft experts. Falling from 6 to 8, so that's just kicking the crotch.
And then what we can do is We should take the top 10 players that we think they'd be taken and match them with a soundtrack.
The quarterbacks?
To explain their game to our listeners. You know what I'm saying?
That.
You know, some people like a jazz player because they just got a nice rhythm.
See,
but
like, that's what you do when you go. Like, that's a perfect thing to do when you're like given that opportunity to interview a bunch of the draft player. Like, usually the day before the draft, the NBA does this thing where all the players are like in the room and you go in there, all the media is invited in. Now, obviously with COVID, that's not going to be possible. Yeah. But I wonder if they'll allow, I'd love to just ask them all that question. Oh, yeah. Anthony's reminding me, by the way, that we don't have much time left in this segment and we've got to get to what's called Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
What's all this small talk between two guys on a radio show? Get to business. Sorry.
You better wrap it up.
Already? All right. Let's see if we can do one a minute.
Okay.
So the NFL trade deadline came and went. Similar to the NFL draft for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, no weapons were added for the superstar quarterback. The hot rumor was the Texans were ready to move Will Fuller, who's in the final year of his rookie deal, and the Packers were reportedly ready to pounce. You know, Diane Rossini said there were issues in upper management, all that stuff. Matt LaFleur shot down all the rumors. He said, I don't know anything about that got serious with Fuller. And he said the reports that the Packers offered a fourth round pick and the Texans were demanding nothing short of a second, all that stuff, he doesn't know anything about it. He also said that Rossini's report, there's no truth to that. Everybody's on the same page and it's all good. So the Packers do get some wide receiver help for Thursday night's game against the Niners in the form of Lazard, who you mentioned earlier, who's expected to return from injured reserve. So you have him. However, Bart, Blitzer Prevent, this team seems to be in perpetual search for a number two receiver to complement Devontae Adams and give Rodgers more weapons. But is the bigger story here that the Packers, who went healthy, have a Super Bowl potential, didn't address their issues on defense? And Rodgers, he's not getting any younger.
I'm a blitz just because the crazy thing is their issues on defense would have been fixed by Avery Williams, and all they would have had to give up was a fifth-round draft pick. Avery played in the defense. This is why Avery was such a perfect fit for either the Steelers or Green Bay. They run the Mike Pettine defense, which is pretty much the Todd Bowles aggressive blitzing style defense, but you have to have a thumper in the middle. Guess who was that thumper? I was that thumper. He would have fit perfectly there, but they put all this draft equity in the outside pass rushers, all these pretty pieces. You got Alex Azir on the outside, Alexander, whatever his name is, from Louisville, whatever, he's cornerback, from the outside. You know, they, and then they got Tremaine, they got all these good weapons, but if you can't stop the damn run, then who cares? Not only that, so now they're deficient on defense and on offense, and you saw the fact that teams are getting ran all over. They don't have a running back because they outbreak with COVID, and like it's going to be, they're going to go back and say, we wasted Aaron Rodgers' prime, and all we got was one championship out of it, and it's a damn shame because he's on the clock. He's going to go somewhere else and be Peyton Manning going to Denver, and he's going to be the difference in somebody winning a Super Bowl because he's going to go to a team that's going to be willing to pay him whatever, and they're going to already have a structure. Watch Aaron Rodgers mess around. Watch Aaron Rodgers mess around and end up in San Francisco in 2 years. Back home on the West Coast with that offense, with those young weapons, and watch what he do.
Oh, that's interesting. Look, I don't know what the Packers are doing here. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I'm
this
like
guy
Rain Man.
Is
I can see the future,
one of the
man.
We're going to remember that. We're going to save that one for sure. That's save a good that. Hot take. All right, next up, one name that some thought would be on the trading block, Bart, was Giants wide receiver Golden Tate. He could have helped some teams like the Packers, as you've pointed out in the past. But Tate remains with the Giants, and while he's been notably quiet, in fact, he hasn't talked to the media in a couple of weeks, he was seen on camera, if you saw Monday Night Football, remember when there was an incompletion, he turned to the camera, he'd throw me the ball! Like, he was fired up,
he's
right?
Mad.
He's mad. The ball didn't go his way, it was incomplete. He was targeted just three times in the game. He made two catches, including, of course, that 19-yard touchdown with 28 seconds left that the Giants had a chance, but of course failed on that two-point conversion. We can argue if it's PI or not some other time. All right, so while Tate hasn't said much outside that outburst on the camera, his wife, Elise, went to the Graham to vent for him. Yeah, I know you love this. She said Golden was, quote, open the entire game, end quote, and complained about lack of targets. She said he's so underutilized. She closed her rant by saying Golden is always a team player and would never say this. I can't watch such a playmaker be underutilized. So Blitzer Prevent, if someone was trying to force a trade, now, by the way, it's $4.7 million in dead cap in 21 if he was traded. But this didn't work. But you have to think Tate's frustration isn't as much about the coaching and play calling as it is with the young quarterback, Daniel Jones, who we talked about yesterday. Is this another residual issue of Jones' struggles?
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, it's one of those things. You don't want him to be – you don't want Golden Tate to start becoming Odell Beckham, where he makes the young guy uncomfortable and he tries to force things to him. The kid is running for his life back there. You don't have a running game, so it's hard to be able to get those opportunities to throw it to him. Slayton seems to have a chemistry with Daniel Jones because, you know, he was there with them last year and they probably had a lot of practice time together. Golden Tate's been in and out of the lineup. Remember the suspension from last year, and he missed time last year as well. So it's hard to kind of get that chemistry. And it's not always Daniel Jones's, you know, responsibility to get him the ball. It's Jason Garrett's responsibility to get him the ball. And Jason Garrett's been going heavy with tight ends and deciding to try and keep these aggressive defenses off balance by having the ability to try and run the ball. And they haven't been in these three wide receiver sets. sense. But sometimes, you know, moms, you know, do it, girlfriends do it. Sometimes you just got to say, listen, let my man handle his business. Let him be a professional. Let him speak for himself, because I might get his ass in something that his that our bills can't get him out of.
Mm. Yeah, you imagine Joe Judge is going to be happy about that. He likes to keep things in-house, so we'll see how that is handled going
forward.
They
can't cut him because nobody wants to take that money. Nobody wants to take that money because he's in the second year of a deal. Thanks a lot, Gettleman. Why would you give an old dude that type of money?
Well,
so it's too much debt.
And he took the money instead of going to a team where he had a chance to win a championship or win, because at this point in his career, that's what it's got to be about. All right, last but not least, we might know the fate of the 2021 season before we know who won the election. I said this at the top of the show, and I really firmly believe it. Tomorrow, key date. Now, I mean, this is for the NBA, by the way. Tomorrow's a key date, as it's expected the owners will make a decision on when next season will begin based on what's agreeable to the players' union. And I've talked to some people on that end. I've talked to a couple of players, and there's also been some reports now that have come out today as well. Now, we'll get to all that later, but that's when Tom Thibodeau's tenure with the Knicks can officially begin, and maybe we'll see Bill Belichick return to New York as a fan of the HC of the NYK. In an interview with the New York Post, Belichick talked about their friendship, which began when Tom was on Doc Rivers' coaching staff with the Celtics a decade ago when they won that championship. They got to a finals as well. Belichick said, quote, and this is in the Post, "We have a strong background in defense, Captain Obvious. I love the way Tom coaches. He is poised and does a great job with adjustments and quick decisions. When asked about advice he'd give Tibbs on the challenging job ahead with the Knicks, Bill replied, in New York, like every other professional sports team, the bottom line is building a competitive team that has a chance to win. New York fans respect teams that compete every day, play smart, and show a work ethic to improve. Tom's teams fit that description." So Blitzer Prevent, these are two guys who believe in defense as a foundation of success. Bart, you're a defensive guy. Do you think Tibbs in today's NBA can turn the Knicks around quickly just by making them a really good defensive team?
Of course. I mean, listen, effort beats tired talent every day of the week. And if you're a highly conditioned athlete, you're going to have the ability to be able to shoot those free throws late in the game. You're going to have the ability to be able to lock that offensive player up. You're going to be able to full court press. You know what I mean? You know, a lot of things, you know, and a lot of times when good teams lose to bad is because they've been outworked. And it's one thing to be outworked, but it's another thing not to have the talent. But to be outworked is a decision. That's a choice. And if your coach is holding guys accountable, that's a choice. So in essence, you have a choice to be able to close the gap when you have a lack of talent. Right now, the Knicks don't have the talent, but they can have the effort and play at a high level. Now, we see Julius Randle run around hitting the three, saying he's going to be a different season for him. It has to be, because he knows that his guarantees are running out. Mm-hmm. If they can move him, they will move him. But that's okay, because that type of pressure you want. And let's see if he can commit on the defensive end as much as he commit to hogging the ball and playing iso ball like he James Harden without the jumper.
And we will see what happens with the offseason and whether or not the Knicks can make any moves to add that talent that they need. But Tibbs alone, what kind of impact will he have on this team? Remains to be seen.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.